I would ask you to stand as you are able. In honor of God's holy word, if it's difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. I'm reading Paul's letter to the Colossians, the third chapter, the third chapter, 17th verse, and then going over to chapter 4, the second verse. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Last week we began this series talking about the problems at the church at Colossae. The church there had a very, very short beginning because Paul was only there for a few days before the tide turned and he had to leave. And the church there did not receive much instruction on how to do things. And they only had the minimal understanding of the gospel. So they began to then try to incorporate Christianity with the paganism that they had already known and had in place. They tried to put Christian doctrine together with the secular philosophies of the day. And what they were doing is they were trying to mix oil and water. Because you can't mix paganism and Christianity. They are opposite. They're opposite in what they mean. They're opposite in the ways of worship. And there is only one God. So they were trying to put everything together. And it just wouldn't work that way. So Paul wrote them this letter to try to help them to understand how Christians live and what it means to be a Christian. And last week we talked about living out the gospel through our daily personal relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children, between worker and employer. And we saw how that what Paul was teaching was so radically different to what the Roman culture said during the day. Now, today, we're going to talk about living the gospel through our daily relationship with God. They were used to many, many different kinds of religion. And pagan religions are based primarily on fear. You're always afraid that this God, little g, is going to do bad things to you. So they always tried to bribe the God to do what they wanted him to do, or they tried to appease the God so they wouldn't do something they didn't want them to do, because the gods, little g, could be manipulated. That's what they believed. They believed that if you did the right thing and said the right thing and offered the right sacrifice, then that God, little g, was then obliged to do what you wanted him or her to do. But Christianity realizes that there is only one God. He cannot be bribed, nor does he need to be. He cannot be manipulated. He cannot be controlled. Still, people are trying to do that today. They say, how many times have I heard somebody say, I don't know why this happens to me. I'm trying to live a good life. Like that's going to bribe God into making sure that nothing bad ever happens to you. It doesn't work that way, does it? I mean, if God wants to put it to a vote, you know, I'll vote for that. You know, do the best you can and then nothing bad ever happens to you. But that's not how it works. We live in a fallen world. We suffer consequences of our actions and other people's actions, and God is still God. And he helps us through, and he brings good out of even the worst situations, but folks, he mostly gives blessings. You know, we talk about the God in the time of trouble, but what about just every day? How many of y'all woke up this morning? Let me see hands. All right, some of you ain't there yet. That's what I figured. That's actually a blessing. It's a blessing. You were physically able to get here. You had transportation. Enough gas in your car. Most of you all had breakfast. A blessing. The people in this room who are here right now, all of us have everything we need. That's where somebody says amen. Amen. There you go. Because folks, if we didn't have everything we need, what would we be? Dead. If you don't have what you need, you're dead. So we have everything that we need and many things that we want and an abundance of blessings, much and more than many of us could have ever imagined. God is a God of blessing. So those blessings naturally lead to thanksgiving. It says, devote yourself to prayer with thanksgiving. Almost every time you read about prayer, instructions about prayer in the New Testament, it talks about prayer and blessing, because those two things go together, like salt and pepper, Laurel and Hardy. There's just things that you think of in pairs. We should always think of prayer as prayer and blessing. How many times, though, have I been guilty of prayer and whining? It's true. You know, I get very, very whiny sometimes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Danny. Somebody get that for me. Thank you. Watch for the signal, Danny. I'll tell you. Okay. We need to be more thankful. We truly do. Because God has been so good to us. So very good. And we get our eyes fixed on those things that we want and don't have, or some little problem, or maybe some big problem. And we forget to be thankful for what we've got. Be thankful for what you have. Prayer goes with thanksgiving. And it says, devote yourselves to that prayer. What is it to be devoted? Loyal, dedicated. What else? Disciplined. Passionate about. If you are devoted to something, are you ever going to turn your back on it? That's how we're supposed to be in our daily life with God. Devoted, prayer, with thanksgiving. We're supposed to be in prayer with alertness. Thank you, Lord. Now, I know that probably everybody here has at one time or another gone to sleep praying. But we're supposed to be not just praying as we go to bed at night. We're supposed to be praying all the time. Therefore, be alert. Be alert. Watching. Always Always alert for when God is going to tell you something. Because, you know, prayer is not that one-way street where we just talk to God all the time. We're supposed to, like, be listening. He might tell us something. He might tell us His will. He might display for us the needs of others. We had a need this morning. A lot of you all were not here. We had a guy came in this morning and declared a need to us. And I went to the Sunday school classes and said, I have a man with a need. I need some money. Who feels led? Who would like to contribute to that? And we had a very generous offering for this gentleman. And as I was talking with him and getting food from the pantry for him and his family, I had a long talk with him about why people who don't know somebody give. Because he kept saying, you don't know me. And it's just like, I don't have to know you. God knows you. If God brings someone to us asking for help, it is our privilege to provide help for that person. If they are scamming us, that's between them and God. If they come to us for help and we do not give it and they need help, that's between us and God. And we got enough between us and God now without adding to it. So I felt in my spirit that this man genuinely needed help, and we helped. Because God, if you're alert and you're in that constant prayer, that devotion to prayer, God will tell you when there is a need for somebody. I've had him do that to me with complete strangers. God had told me one time, this is when Gary and I were really strapped for money, and I had just been paid, and I had $100, and God told me to give it to this lady that I had never met before. Didn't know her at all. So I went up, and I gave her my $100. And she broke down and cried. This was in a church, not my church, but another church. And she said, I was just praying. She said, I've got 2 flat tires and no way to get it fixed. If you are alert, God will tell you the needs of others. And I want you to know, folks, God took care of my needs too. That's how it works. Helping each other. Be alert in prayer. Prayer is conversation with God. Be devoted to that conversation. It's your relationship. All relationship is based on communication. All relationship is based on communication. Look at me. All relationship is based on communication. Just like my baby. You tell them, honey. Now, what does that tell us? Either that she's hungry, she's wet, or she wants the preacher to hush. She's sleepy. But I tell you what, isn't it amazing to you that you can have 47 kids in a nursery and one starts to cry and the mother knows immediately it's hers? How do they do that? They all sound alike to me. But God knows our cries too. And He helps us to be in tune with the cries of others. Be ready at all times to give an account to God of yourself and your stewardship. Be in that constant communication. And the last thing in this that Paul was talking about, he was in prison, folks. I have not been to Colossae, but I have been to the prison in Corinth that he was in. And I saw the remnants of that prison. And let me tell you, it was not a fun place to be. It was dank and dark and really horrible. That's the only thing I can say. It was really a horrible situation. And even if you are in a house prison, having your movements fettered is hard, isn't it? How many of us in just 1 week of being snowed in go stir crazy? Because we are used to getting out and going. We're used to getting out and doing. Imagine months and months and months of imprisonment. And Paul did not ask for anything for his own pleasure, his own comfort, for him to even be released. He said, please give me the wisdom to preach the gospel clearly. Because this Jesus thing is a mystery. It's a mystery. It's amazing. Help. Pray that I am able to speak it in these circumstances so that people can hear that the doors will be open. Dear friends, if Christians do not pray for the doors to open for the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will? Jesus himself said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that laborers will be sent. Because there's a lot of people who have never heard, and there's a lot of people who've heard that don't yet understand. Most of us did not accept the gospel, the gift of God of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. Most of us did not accept that the very first time we heard it, did we? But one day it made sense. One day the light came on. Pray for the doors to be open. I wonder if you can even call yourself a Christian if you don't have a heart for the lost. Because, friends, we don't want to get in ourselves. We got a whole world we want to take with us. How can we have something so wonderful and so magnificent and not want to give it to everybody that we see? Imagine what the world would be like if all Christians acted like Christians. I wonder if we wouldn't see some changes. I wonder if some other people wouldn't be saying, I don't know what they've got, but I like that. Not because we don't have any problems, but because we can smile even when we do have a problem. Not because our hearts don't get broken, but we're never, ever crushed. What would the world be like if our heart lost great that we would actually pray for them every day, that we would live before them every day? Next week, as we continue this series, we're going to talk about how we live before others, what we say and what we do before other people to help them know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I hope that as we go through this series, that God speaks to your heart and shows you different ways that you can be that light. Because, folks, all you have to do is pick up the Kingsport Times News and know we live in a dark place. The two things that break my heart when I read all the things that are going on is that people are hurting each other in abominable ways, and they're extraordinarily stupid. Because they don't think there's any consequence for it. But if every Christian would live like we're talking about, like Paul was describing to these Christians in Colossians, I wonder what a difference we could make. Let's not whine because the world's shot. What do we call it? Going to hell in a handbasket? Let's not whine about it. Let's not belabor it. Let's not say, well, it's those people. Let's pray. Even if only this church prays earnestly, daily, Kingsport can be changed. I believe that. Do you believe it? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.